Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. In what ways was I mean and aggressive from anger repression? Oh, it was all covert. But there's control, manipulation, even grooming coming from anger repression. But often anger repressors will do it in a way that makes them come out looking like the good guy. Let me give you an example. Let's say it's a romantic relationship and the couple is having issues with money and the husband represses anger and has a kind of laissez-faire attitude about, like, it'll all take care of itself. Why are you always worrying about it? But the reason the wife worries about it is because the husband totally shirks that responsibility, but is not owning where that's coming from. So the laissez attitude or the different philosophy around money for the anger repressor is coming from the fear of conflict. That whoever assumes responsibility for money also has to assume responsibility for conflict with creditors and different people around money. This can create big issues in a relationship. And it's not just around money. It's not about the content. It's about how we shift responsibility really aggressively, but we do it from like, oh, I'm not really doing it. I just have a different philosophy on things or a different perspective. And we're not earnest enough to go, no, when I go to the unconscious, I'm actually just afraid of conflict. And so by not being earnest and honest, that's how we contribute suffering, because anytime we're not authentic in a relationship, we're showing up as false. And then we can't resolve the very disputes that we create by shirking our responsibility. Or imagine working on a team. You work in some company or spiritual organization or healthcare center, and there's a team that you're all equals, and you're all responsible for the leadership of that company, but you've got an anger repressor on the team who doesn't like to have doesn't have the hard conversations with employees and will often have a certain attitude about it where it's just not necessarily effective leadership. But the employees might like that manager because of the people-pleasing involved in that. And when it looks like, oh, that's just a good manager, he's so easygoing, what's really going on is a deep fear of conflict and anger repression, which then shifts the responsibility to the team members to have the hard conversations and endure the conflict. And that's aggressive, but covertly so. Because an anger repressor will often do it with a smile or a peaceful gesture or something that doesn't feel in any way attacking or manipulative, even though it is. Because the very shirking of my own responsibility pushes it on to someone else. And then not taking ownership of it is what sort of seals the damage. Because if somebody could just say, you know what, I could have taken care of that, but I was afraid, then they can resolve that behavior and, you know, a team or a marriage can work better. What anger repressors are fairly notorious in doing is saying they'll do something, but then not following through. And again, it's a fear of conflict, a fear of expressing anger. Because just in saying yes to the thing may have been people-pleasing or a fear of conflict. And then never saying no after that. And so then doing something that they don't want to do and therefore not doing it well because their heart's not into it. But then again, not taking responsibility for how that affects the other people who are involved in that, where you agreed to do something with them. Or imagine that you have a website. I'm trying to give you different examples. And say you and your book writing partner have a website, and you both need to make money because you need to grow your business. And you both know that as business owners. But your partner, business partner, is much more interested in just creating content and doesn't really want to deal with the business stuff, and kind of has maybe even some judgments around people who bring in the business part, because maybe the partner, the angry oppressor, thinks of herself or himself as an artist. And it's a bamboozle because it's, again, it's a shirking of responsibilities. Unless they both agree to that. And that's different. But under this scenario, they're both leaders, they're both responsible. And one is just saying, hey, I'm taking content creation. Can you take care of the business? But what that's really about is, can you take care of all the conflict? Well, I just create this content that people will like. But if any of those people have customer service complaints or anything like, can you take care of that? And see how they're staying safe. And it becomes aggressive because it's in a relationship where the burden gets shifted. And then other people have to feel things and experience things that they wouldn't have had that person taken responsibility. There are so many other examples. I just want to give you a couple more. Even a simple friendship of someone like that you hang out with, but they take up a lot of the conversation. And as an angry oppressor, you sit there not saying much or not able to say much and feeling resentful and not taking responsibility for how your resentment comes from your buried anger. And then kind of shifting the responsibility over to the other person to like talk less or change instead of just being authentic yourself, and not seeing how, and that is aggressive. That's coming from anger repression, where you have a point of view and a feeling about something, but you hold it back, and then holding it back, it creates more suffering. And then that lack of ownership is always tagged onto it with anger repression. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not angry. And there's a real manipulation, albeit unconsciously, to walk around constantly saying, I'm not angry, when you're driven by that. But because it's unconscious, people, I think, get a pass on that part of it until they do some repression inquiry or processing around buried emotions, so that they can even acknowledge the anger or the fear of conflict. When you're really clear and authentic in relationship and you're feeling and expressing what's true, your partner doesn't have to guess about who you are and how you feel. But with anger repression, what's like, we'll shift that responsibility over to the partner. You should just get me. And by the way, don't trigger me. But without being authentic. So we don't own our part of that to show up, or we're afraid of that. And then we don't see how that creates the suffering. Again, the ownership part is not there. Anyway, there's more examples, but this was really important. And oh, it was indispensable to see this, because I had in my consciousness this false idea that anger repression is not aggressive, not manipulative, not controlling. But I had to actually do this work to see the truth around that. That it's anger that's being controlled. It's the self that's being controlled, or self-expression. And it's happening from fear. And so it has an effect on other people. Not just the person doing it, but it brings suffering to relationship. The responsibility is shifted but very covertly to other people to handle the difficult things, to deal with the money, to handle when the child is having a really tough time or there's a problem at school with the teachers. Because anger repressors will try to keep their hand out of a lot of that, anywhere that there could be conflict, but they just won't own it. And that's the frustrating part, because it'll make you go crazy if you don't know it's anger repression. Not literally, but it's like anything. It's like you're being manipulated. But the person who's doing it doesn't look like they're doing that, because they're actually just surviving. But you may not even know that that's how anger repressors survive, or that your partner is an anger repressor surviving that way. You might just fall prey to the stories that get told. Like, well, I'm just not into that. That's why I don't want to worry about money. I don't really care about that. When it's not true, because without money, they couldn't have their house, or he couldn't have his car every day. It wasn't safe to care about money, is the truth for an anger repressor, because that's potentially conflict. When you have a better relationship with money, it's not a source of suffering. As long as you look at any greed, I need money, or fear that you won't have enough, or fear of conflict around it. And then it just is a non-issue, and you don't end up greedy or suffering over money. But it all has to do with repression. You guys might wonder why I keep saying that, but it really does, because if we can't be true to ourselves and to each other, how will we have good relationships and work teams and all that? I used to take the position that I'm an artist, and artists don't need to be involved in the business. It's just such a cop-out, and shifted the responsibility to my co-owners or co-creators. That was coming from the need for safety, to do things that were safe and that would get me love and approval, but never to dip into the pool of conflict around business. That way, I always came out looking like the good guy. You know, send somebody else in for that. But I'm going to go over here and just teach or create content. Or take care of all that. Well, so what I did to own that is now I'm the one that's in charge, finally, of the finances of this organization. Isn't that crazy? I never placed myself there. Because I'm like, I don't care. But I did. It wasn't greed. It was just a basic care about having enough to pay your bills, simple stuff, and being authentic enough to live my life in a way that took care of myself and not just other people, which is what anger repressors do. When you do repression work, you see the imbalances in relationship that come from buried emotions. You see the shifting of responsibility, the lack of authenticity, and the effects of all that. The actual tangible effects of it, even though it's repression, here you get to see it, so you don't hide from it anymore. And then you're kind of forced into taking ownership, or you'll keep suffering. Once you really see, oh, I'm creating this, by being afraid of conflict and saying it's about something else, I'm creating all this suffering here for myself and others, or at least for myself. And then you can take ownership and end that suffering. But if we continue to think that, oh, well, I don't care about money, or I'm an artist, or no, businesses, or whatever we're trying to shirk, whatever it is, in any scenario, a friendship, a marriage, when we're saying it's about one thing, but it's really about fear again, it really is hard to have good relationships. That's what I've learned. It really does damage relationships. It makes it difficult. And so it really is so important, I think, to discover how we are being aggressive covertly from repression and manipulative and controlling and not taking responsibility for certain things that need to happen and staying safe and looking good and all of it. It's like the two parents. Like one, the mom is not an anger repressor. She can speak up to the kids. Sometimes she says no to them, and they go over to dad. And dad looks like the good cop because dad didn't say any of that. And it looks like dad is just easygoing, but dad is terrified of conflict and not being loved. You see how the kids would be fooled. I can tell you how many people grew up with anger repressing parents and suffered because of it. Because they never knew what real authenticity was. Or what it was like to see a person take emotional responsibility. We saw it in my own training program, of course, because as we started to have more standards, like, oh, well, this is what we want you to be able to do if you're certified. We want these standards to be here. They're like boundaries. But not everybody wanted to communicate those boundaries, clearly. And so we had to do work. People had to do work here to even know what they wanted in a training program, me too. And to be able to express that and not keep pushing that out on others. And then not having the training program we want. It's like not having the relationship that you want because of not taking emotional responsibility. One of the examples of shifting responsibility as shadows. So, you know, we have this responsibility to feel and express our own emotions, but when we can't and we bury them, we see shadows. We see that emotion or that trait in other people. We have a reaction. But by focusing on them, we're shifting the responsibility somehow to them to help us with what we can't feel. If we stay in that shadow, it just protects us. And it's so important in personal relationships, the shadows, to see, how am I shifting that to you? How am I shifting my buried anger to you through a shadow? Or my buried vulnerability by saying you're too sensitive? But there's good news because the way that KI has been developed is in three phases. The first phase is you learn the tools. The second phase is you do them. Pretty simple. But the third phase is where you make it relational and about authenticity and not just ending suffering, but living the life that you want because you're being yourself and you're really experiencing authenticity. So we want people to go all the way with that if they want that. But what happens in second phase, and this is why we made a distinction between second and third phase, is that there's a lack of ownership and there's a shifting responsibility to other people in relationship. And then the person who does that cannot experience freedom until they own those emotions that they've buried and start to feel and express what's true in relationship and find their power, is another way of saying it. And not, again, like, shirking that power or authority. And it's an inner authority of self-trust. So a lot of people who have anger repression, they get an authority shadow in second phase. They come at us, the mentors or trainers. What we say is, but you just shifted responsibility here. Like, we may be doing something, but we have to own that. If you're just coming from the same authority shadow that you've always had, you shifted the responsibility of feeling your own buried hurt or rage to us, if that's where the shadow's coming from. So we had to say, no, we have to own our part if we're doing anything, but so do you, in order to be free. In order to move into the third phase where you're really living authentically, you can't just shift things to other people like that or focus on others and expect that freedom. And that's the ownership that we take, but it's not in the mind. It's you literally embody the buried emotion. And there you take ownership of everything, all the suffering that was coming from that. And then you stop just by that, doing that, you inherently stop shifting responsibility and denying your power and all that. So how can you start? Well, some of you already have, which is good, but I think it just start like everybody does. People come to KI not knowing this because we lie to ourselves our whole lives. By holding anger back, we are sure that we're not controlling or demanding, or that we're not putting our unmet needs on people unconsciously because we're so unconscious to it. So we definitely can't take ownership. But if you start and learn the tools, you begin from the beginning to see it in little things, which is all you can do at first, like being afraid to say something to somebody and then seeing that as a result of that, here's the suffering that happens. And then processing and saying it to them and watching that you take ownership of something and there's just no suffering anymore. It's just very lived. You have to kind of do it and see it. But as you go deeper into the path, you want to own things. You don't want to shift responsibility because you can see that's the source of suffering. So there's more ownership. There's more earnestness around just being free because you can see the path here that you've buried this emotion. It's still been active in relationship, creating separation. And you don't want that. When you get a certain degree of consciousness, you don't want to go back to, I just need to stay safe and get love. It's like something shifts or tilts towards the other direction. No, I can taste the authenticity now. This is what I want. But that's when some of the hard conversations start, because you finally become open to seeing that really awakening is relational and it's about the body. But that's also where the real freedom starts, when you bring it to relationship. And you start taking responsibility and you start having all the insights of the damage that you created by not doing that and how that was mean or even hurtful to people that you loved. And because you have empathy, anger repressors, you already have that. When you see this, you don't want to do that. You have compassion. You'll want to own everything. Because that's love. If this is you, or if you're not sure if it's you, I think because it's so repressed in people, I don't expect people to go, yep, that's me. But there could be things in it that you relate to and you just become curious, like, do I shift the responsibility to my wife? And maybe go have a conversation with your wife or your team members and see what they think about it. But because anger repressors, we're like the last to know that we're angry. And sometimes it takes just looking at the suffering to become curious to go down into the body and discover it. You can go and discover it at repressiontest.com. It's a free test of ours. And that puts you on our newsletter. But if you want to come and work with me, I'm doing a 90-day intensive program where we get right to the bottom of this with inquiry. It's the best thing I have to offer. If you're not ready for one-on-one, you click on that same link in the description here. You'll see the description for my KI Jumpstarter group, which is how I teach people this work in a group setting. Thank you for listening.